Let's move now to our scripture lesson this morning, and we're going to go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 35 through 40. The Gospel of John, the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 6. I will have those words up here on the screen. I read out of my New American Standard Bible translation. John chapter 6, verse number 35. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
That's great. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read verses 35 through 40. These are the words of the Apostle John as he writes these words as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Verse number 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but will raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, the words of Jesus, oh, they're always so precious and so wonderful. And Father, there's going to be something we're going to learn from these words here today. And I just pray that your scriptures will just penetrate into our hearts here this morning to do the transforming work that they always do. We give you the glory. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I have titled today's message, "I Lose Nothing." The exact words Jesus speaks in John chapter 6, verse number 39. I had all intentions of moving on to something new this morning, something more Christmassy here this morning, and to start something to go into the Christmas season. But I ran into a friend on Wednesday, and that changed everything. My divine encounter with this friend of mine. And I won't give you his real name. I'll just call him Pete for the sake of giving him a name. The good news is I already have 80% of my sermon ready for next Sunday because I had it written. And the bad news was I had to start something from scratch after my encounter with Pete on Wednesday. The story goes like this. I ran into Pete and we started a conversation, and Pete is a very, very good man. Pete is a very good church-going man. But Pete looked extremely sad the day that I ran into him. And I said, "Pete, are you doing okay?" And he shook his head and his eyes start welling up with tears. And he said, "No, I'm not, Mike." And I said, "Pete, what's wrong?" He said, "I have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It is untreatable and it is incurable." He said, "And they give me about 3 months to live." And I said, "Pete, I'm going to take off my friend hat here for a second, and I'm going to put on my pastor hat. And I ask him this, Pete, are you assured of your salvation?" And his response was this: "I think so." That's where we're going this morning. "I think so." Last week, I ask if maybe somebody might be questioning their salvation because the gospel, when I preached all those weeks, got kind of tough, and maybe it got a little bit narrow too. So I ask you, might you be questioning your salvation? But I also said this, that might be a good thing. Well, how can it be a good thing? And I brought this scripture up here. Because we test ourselves if we ever doubt or if we ever question our salvation, we test ourselves. And in the process of examining ourselves or testing ourselves, we will remember what brought us to that point of salvation in the first place, which was our faith and our trust in the gospel. And once we do that, that should bring us back and ease our minds and convict us about the assurance of our salvation. The assurance of our salvation. When Pete responded, "I think so," that was not the right answer, my friends. This morning, let's talk about the right answer. So, Beech Grove, it's test time. It's test time. This is going to be like Sunday school class. I'll ask the questions, and this wonderful congregation will give all the right answers. Amen, Mike. I presented six gospel truths, and I'm even going to give you some hints. I'm going to list them up here. The sinfulness of mankind. No, wait a second. We can't all be sinners, can we? Has everybody fallen short of the glory of God?
Yes.
We have. Romans 6:23. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We need to know that. We need to understand that. Number two, but there's got to be something that I can do to fix my sin problem, right?
No.
Good. Well, there must be something that I can do to contribute to my salvation, right? There's got to be something I can do, all my good works, right?
No.
Good. Excellent. Now, you got to remember this. Our friends who are of the Catholic persuasion, their gospel says this. You must believe in Jesus Christ, but you also must do good works. The Catholic religion preaches a false gospel, my friends. I need to tell you that, and I think I've said that on many occasions. Number three, Jesus was just a good teacher, right? Wasn't he a good teacher?
Yes.
He was a good teacher, so I guess I'm right. He couldn't have been God, right? Was he God?
Yes.
He was God. He was God. What's the word we use? Begins with I. He was God what? Incarnate. Very good. He was God incarnate. God in the flesh. The exclusiveness of Jesus. Sorry, I'm with Oprah on this one. All paths lead to God. There's a light out there. There's a God out there. You find your way. I'll find my way. Right?
No.
That doesn't work. It doesn't work. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The atonement for our sin. Well, Jesus died on a cross. I believe that. But we need to be able to answer this question. Why did he die on a cross? He died on a cross because I had a sin debt that I could not pay. Who paid my sin debt?
Jesus.
And it was paid where? On the cross. And that was for the forgiveness of my sins. And then the gospel goes to the sixth and final point, which says this. Wait a second. People just don't rise from the dead, do they?
Jesus did,
and we must believe that. That has got to be one of the gospel truths that we must trust and believe in, that Jesus rose from the grave, Romans 9 and 10. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that the Father raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So, good, check mark. Beech Grove Church passes the test. Oh, but there's part two. But there's a response, right? We know the gospel truths now, and we say we believe them. But remember, James chapter 2, verse 19. Even the who believes? The demons believe. The demons believe those six gospel truths. But what makes us different as Christians? Number one, the Christian confesses. In other words, the Christian has faith in the gospel, in what in those truths. And do we have, we not only have the truths here, but we have them where? In our hearts. Right. We believe those truths in our hearts. Number two, the Christian confesses. We declare faith in that Jesus Christ is Lord. No, wait a second. Can't I be the master of my life? I want to be the master of my life, right? Who's the master of my life now? Jesus Christ is the master of my life and of your life too. And number three, the Christian repents, turn away from their desire and lifestyle of sin. No, wait a second. I like to sin. I like it. And I want to do it. Is that okay?
No.
We must have a desire. We repent. We turn away. We have from our desire in our lifestyle of sin, because the Bible in so many places says we need to repent, to turn away. We have a change of mind about how we view our sin. What we once loved to do, we no longer love to do. So I think we passed the test. Did you pass the test? I hope you passed the test. So are you feeling good about your salvation? If you passed the test, remember, examine yourselves to make sure that you're in the faith. So did I hope everybody in here gave themselves a great big check mark. So let's get back to Pete and that story that I told you earlier. The answer to the question that I asked Pete, are you assured of your salvation? The answer should never be, I think so. The answer to that question should be for the Christian, yes, I am assured of my salvation because, and I'm going to give you six reasons why, because you and I should be assured of our salvation. So when someone comes up to me and says, are you okay with your salvation? Your response is going to be, yes, I am. To have assurance of our salvation gives us joy. And I want us all to have joy here this morning of the assurance that we have in our salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's be sure of what we profess our faith in. Let's have this joy. Let's stand on His promises and not on what we think that we can do to accomplish this. Next, I'm going to put three verses up here, and there's going to be a common thread in all three of these verses. Now, I'm going to give you a little hint, because what's common, I'm going to have in bold and underlined. So I'm going to kind of help you out here a little bit. So what's the first thing that we need to put our trust and confidence in? Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 36. These are the words of John the Baptist. He says this, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." All right, the next verse, the words of Jesus, John 5:24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of life, out of death into life." And then the words of Jesus one more time in John 6:47. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life." I think you see the common thread, because I had it underlined, the exact same words in all three verses. What is it? Has eternal life. My friends, eternal life begins the moment that you are born again by the Holy Spirit. The moment that you first believe, the moment that you first put your trust in the gospel message. In the true believer's life, there is a moment of what we call a spiritual birth. Remember, you got to be born twice. And that moment of rebirth, what we call a rebirth, we call regeneration. That person has been regenerated. So please do not think that eternal life is something that's going to be only in the future. Eternal life begins now. It begins the moment that you say, "I trust in Jesus." The moment that you were a transformed creature from an old creature to a new creation. We have eternal life. Jesus says it, and there's more verses that attest to this. They have eternal life. We have about six fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin here this morning. Let's go to the first one. And the first one would say this. Yes. What's the question, Pete? Are you assured of your salvation? Here's the correct answer. Yes, I am assured of my salvation because I have eternal life. Because we know that. We have eternal life. It's been given to us as a gift. Let's move on to the second one. John 6:39. We read this morning. Jesus says this, "This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day." That all that he has given me, the Father is giving a gift to his Son Jesus. Jesus is the bridegroom, and what is the gift, or who is the gift that the Father has given to the bride, the bridegroom? The church. Excellent. Great. The church. The church is the gift the Father is giving to the bridegroom. Folks, we might lose our car keys, or we might lose the good health that we once had back when we were 18 years old. But we will never lose our eternal life, because Jesus says, I lose nothing. And when Jesus says, I lose nothing, guess what happens? He loses nothing. That means the gift that the Father gives him. And he says this, but raise it up on the last day. Upon his return, he's going to raise up the church, and we are going to be a part of that. So our fill in the blank says this, the question, are you assured of your salvation? The answer, yes, I am assured of my salvation because Christ will never lose me. Oh, isn't that good news? And I still got four more to go. And I'm getting excited already. Four more to go. He's not going to lose you. Number three, John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice. These are the words of Jesus. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life to them. And they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. It's pretty straightforward. We're in the hands of Jesus. We are in the hands of God. Folks, this is a whole lot better than Allstate. I promise you. We said you're in good hands with Allstate. You can't get in any better hands than being in the hands of the Son and also in the hands of the Father. So what would our fill in the blank be? Are you assured of your salvation? Yes, I am assured of my salvation because I am secure in his hands. I am secure. Next one, number four. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has started a work in us. God, the Holy Spirit, has started a work in us. And he says he will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is very similar to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, that says this, that Jesus Christ is the author and the perfecter of our faith. The author, he started it. The perfecter, he will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's the day of Jesus Christ? That's the day that he returns. He's going to see us through. So what is our fill in the blank? Number four, Mike, are you assured of your salvation? Yes, I am assured of my salvation because God will complete what he has started. When my son was very, very small, I used to read him storybooks before he went to bed. And one of the books that I read, was one of his favorites, was a book called The Sorcerer's Apprentice. I don't know if you've ever heard or read that story before. But in that story, the sorcerer tells Mickey, who is the apprentice, he says this, don't start what you can't finish. My son used to love hearing me say that because I'd say it with this sorcerer's type voice, you know. God started something. God will finish it. Praise the Lord. Number 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Our inheritance, in other words, our salvation, is imperishable. It is undefiled. It will never fade away. And that's not only the good news, but it is held in the power of God, which leads us to our fifth fill in the blank. Why am I assured of my salvation? Yes, I am assured of my salvation because my inheritance is protected by the power of God and not protected by the power of me. Because if it was up to me, folks, I would lose it 127 times every day. Amen. Because I would. And so would you. Maybe not 127. But we would lose it. The last and final one. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're not condemned. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 1. If we read further on in Romans chapter 8, if you get to the end of the chapter, he says this, Paul says this, well, what shall separate us? Because the question inevitably comes up. There's got to be a way to lose my salvation. So Paul addresses that and he says this, what shall separate us from the love of Jesus Christ for those who are believers? And he says this, will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And he says, no, in all those things we are more than conquerors. And then he goes on and he says this in verse 39, for I am convinced, I love when he says that, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That covers everything, my friends. People might say, well, Satan can steal your salvation. No, Satan can't just steal your salvation. It says there, angels can't steal it, nor any other created being. Somebody might say, well, it was a gift. I decided to give the gift back. No, you can't, because you're a created being and nothing can separate you or I from the love of Jesus Christ. We are secure in his hands. The fill in the blank would say this. It's pretty straightforward. Mike, are you assured of your salvation? Yes, I am assured of my salvation because nothing, nothing can condemn me, or nothing will condemn me. The gospel. Do you have the gospel right? This is the ninth week we've been on this. I'm not going to lie to you, but I'm going to try to move on to Christmas next Sunday. I really am. But do we have the gospel right? And are we displaying the correct and the right biblical responses to hearing and believing the gospel? Remember, again, even the demons believe these things. Yes, they believe those things. They know that they happen. They believe in them. But the Christian confesses, the Christian confesses, and the Christian repents. So, let's get back to Pete. Why was Pete, who is a very good church-going man, not confident and assured of his salvation? Let me give you some possible answers. Was he not taught the biblical assurance of the Christian faith? Possibly. Was he not paying attention when it was taught? Possibly. Could the news of his probable passing in 3 months blur and distort his thinking? And that's a possibility too. But there's one more possibility. And that's this. The possibility Pete is not saved at all. And Pete doesn't know the gospel. And Pete doesn't understand the gospel. In that conversation, it was good that I had just got done with this sermon series, or at least was in this sermon series, because I had the opportunity to share that with Pete and to share that with Pete. Where Pete goes with what I told him is going to be up to him. Just like I've been saying for the past 15 years in here, folks, I'm responsible to you, but I'm not responsible for you. Pete heard the gospel, and I pray that Pete becomes a transformed life before the Lord decides to take him from the face of this earth. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, talks about faith. And we're talking about we have faith in the gospel. It's a saving faith. It's the faith that saved us. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I am convicted of a cross and the death of Jesus. I am convicted of a resurrection and Jesus rising from the grave. I am convicted of the words and the identity of Jesus Christ. And I am certainly convicted that I know that I am a sinner. And I am convicted in the truth of the gospel. So what does this faith, this saving faith, what do these convictions get me and get you? The assurance of things hoped for. And what do we hope for? Our hope is in eternal life. Folks, according to his promises, it's a done deal. Quoting the words of Stevie Wonder, signed, sealed, delivered. Baby, I'm yours. Beech Grove, please have assurance of your salvation and have joy in that assurance. Nothing or no one's ever going to take it from you. If someone ever asks you, are you assured of your salvation? Your response must be, yes, I have that assurance. Well, why, Mike, do you have that assurance? Because I have eternal life. Because Christ will never lose me. Because I am secure in his hands. Because God will complete what he started. Because my inheritance is protected by the power of God. And last but not least, nothing and no one can ever condemn me for what God has given me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have placed my saving faith in the gospel. And I hope you have too. The gospel. Week number one, I said this. The gospel means good news. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Amen.